This is HPR episode 1789 entitled, The Ubuntu Quickly eBook Template, and eBooks in General. It is hosted by John Culp, and is about 34 minutes long. The summary is, John Culp and Mike Hingley talk about eBooks in general, and Mike's Quickly eBook Template project.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hey everybody, this is John Culp, and I thought I should say a few words about the recording you're about to hear. This is a conversation that I had with Mike Hingley about a year ago when he reached out to me regarding his project called the Ubuntu Quickly eBook Template. And I thought it was a pretty cool project and something that we should talk about on HPR, so we got together on Mumble and recorded for about 25 minutes, and then for one reason or another, the show never got edited and uploaded, so I finally got back around to it today. And I apologize for the audio quality on my end. I was clipping a little bit, and I don't like that, but hopefully you can just bear with it. I also apologize for what seems like my denseness when he's trying to explain one of his visions about this. It seems like I'm misunderstanding him every time, where he talks about how he would like for this project not only to be used to create an ebook, but also to get it into the Ubuntu repository so that a user could just grab it using the package manager, and then also have the ebook updated as part of normal system updates. So a very, very cool idea now that I listen back on it. And it irritates me that I just seem to be fixated on using the tool only to create ebooks. Also, on the positive note, he talked to me a few times in there about the Python libraries to get at Calibre to do some ebook conversions and so forth, and I'm glad to say that I use those all the time now, and they work perfectly, and my entire ebook creation process is automated for my Counterpoint book, so that's a good thing. And with that, I think I will just leave you to it. Hope you enjoy this, and again, I apologize for the long delay in uploading and for the poor audio quality on my end. Multi-channel is good, easy to edit out coughing and things like that. All right. So let's. I don't have a script or even a list of bullet points or anything here.
I mean, neither.
Sounds good. So have you recorded any HPR episodes before?
Yeah, I did a couple. I did one. What's in my bag? Obviously, I think everyone does that one. And the how I got into Linux, I think everyone does that one as well. I did the one about content packaging, which is where my sort of passion lies these days.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing about books.
We hadn't done an official start here, but we might as well start with that, I guess. I'm John Culp in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I'm talking to...
My name's Mike Hingley, and I'm in Birmingham in the UK.
All right. And so I did recently an episode for HPR where I talked about my renovation of a 1910 Counterpoint textbook for use in my Counterpoint classes at the university. And I talked about the process of doing corrections, putting musical examples, and coming up with scripts that would help me insert examples and all these kinds of things.
and also about my philosophies of the relative openness or not of university textbooks and things of this sort. If you haven't listened to that episode, then I guess you could go back and listen if you wanted for some more background info. But the reason I mention that is because Mike got in touch with me shortly after that episode came out and introduced me to a pretty cool package that he has written for, I guess it's for Ubuntu, but it looks like it could be used on any Debian-based system. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. I think so, yeah.
And tell us what it's called and what it does.
Okay, thanks, John. It's an Ubuntu Quickly ebook template. It's a system that allows you to create ebooks using the Quickly templating system. That I think that's an open source project. I know it's part of Ubuntu. It may be available on other distros as well. But using that, you can create ebooks like EPUB files and get them onto your Kindle and all the rest of it. It's challenging, but it's all right.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I watched a screencast that you did, and I remember hearing about the Quickly project either right when it came out or shortly after it came out, and I don't remember which podcast I heard about it on. It might have been the Ubuntu UK podcast or something like that. I know it was a couple of years ago, but they were talking about this really cool new package where if you want to start a project, all you have to do is type Quickly space project name, and boom, you've got this directory with all of the files you need in it with the version control set up, and it really sounded cool. I just didn't have anything to use it for. It would have occurred to me to use it for ebooks the way you are.
Well, the traditional sort of templates you got with it were things like Pygame apps or a GTK app, that kind of thing. So if you wanted to do those things, that's great. But one of the things I found was you could do quickly, so you could tell Quickly to create you a Quickly template. It's really sort of meta and sort of, yeah. So that's how I started a template, was to quickly something, and basically then started taking things out and putting replacement things in.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I really liked about it was you could take your content and you could share it on Launchpad. So you could take your source files and people could then potentially repackage that themselves or add to it or fork it like a normal piece of source. And I think that's quite important for content. One of the things I've been sort of writing about on my blog is if we take content and put it on Google or Mega Upload or whatever, we're sort of reliant upon them maintaining it. And I thought this might be an opportunity, as it's the sort of fundamental building block of the operating system, the repository system that I was using to share it with. It would mean the content would be fundamentally sort of preserved as well.
It's a very cool concept. And also, I could imagine that if I were working on this Counterpoint book with a colleague or two or three of them, and we were all working at the same time, it would be much easier to deal with the editing and updating if it were stored centrally on a repository like this, and people could commit their changes, and all of us would always have the same version of the files.
Yeah, it's certainly an advantage. The underlying version system for Launchpad is Bazaar, which is a distributed version system, a bit like GitHub. So there's no reason why you couldn't all have your own branches and then do your own updates and then merge them all together.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, it being decentralized reduces that sort of reliance again on a central point to store all of your data.
Right. And so one of the questions I had for you when you emailed me was, you had mentioned that my students could track the code and get the updates via Bazaar or something, but I think I mentioned that I don't think any of my students run Linux, and at least in the 13 years I've been teaching here, I might have had 3 or 4 students who actually ran it and a handful more who kind of knew what it was.
But, yeah.
I don't know about they could certainly download a finished product from there, like a finished EPUB or a finished AZW3 file from there, and there would be a central place to grab it.
Yeah, I mean, that is still supported under Launchpad. You can sort of still link to it. You can build sort of build recipes, so you can say, take this source, do this stuff to it, and give me the output. And we could use that to sort of publish your book and put that into a download location on Launchpad. But the real advantage of, say, if you were a Linux user, would be if you were subscribed to that particular PPA, or even if it was part of the distribution, any changes would be automatically pushed out to your system. So it would appear like a normal system update. So when you switch your PC on, it would say, hey, John's done a new version of the book. Would you like to download it? Yes, please. Yes, I would.
Yeah. That would be excellent for things like documentation of whatever. I mean, if you could have things like that updated and then pushed to your Kindles or your whatever readers you have.
You could certainly see it being used for like an Ubuntu manual. I mean, what better way to maintain an Ubuntu manual than to use Ubuntu to build an Ubuntu manual?
Right. So what, when you first started this, what was the use case that you imagined?
I'd sort of been looking at the way distros asked for help, and it seemed to be, if you're a coder, great, write some, you know, fix some bugs for us. And if you're not, perhaps you could raise some bugs or do some documentation. And it seemed to be the selling point to a distro was the applications. And as a user, you're there to basically big up the applications and make them better. So it all seemed to be geared towards application developers, which is fine because that's what a distro is. But I thought, well, what about if I don't write applications? What about if I'm an author? Or what if I'm Cory Doctorow, you know, writing my books? Wouldn't it be cool if Ubuntu could sign some sort of deal where my books would be available, you know, on Ubuntu? You wouldn't have to go to Amazon or Cory Doctorow site or anywhere in particular to get them. They'd just be available. You'd be able to search for them. They'd be indexed. So you'd sort of search for Homeland or Little Brother or whatever and get the book that you wanted.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I don't think I'm going to be using this project for what I have going right now, but I could definitely see maybe using it in the future. I mean, right now I've got my own build process and scripts and things like that. Actually, before I talked to you, I was working on a bash script that would take my source HTML file and then run a bunch of sed substitutions to make it work better on the Kindle. And I'll have to do a different script to make it work on the iOS reader that I have found. And this is a constant source of frustration that there's so many different devices that handle these files differently. It's hard to make something that's going to work exactly the same on every platform. I mean, the Kindle, for example, will not render the music players. And most of the ebook readers on other platforms I found also will not render the music players in my Counterpoint book, but I found one on iOS. Actually, there's an Android version of it too. It's called Neosaur, but Neosaur Book, I think, Neosoar. And it does render the audio players. And so when I look at the book on that, I can play the music also. But it had a problem where it didn't deal with ordered lists the right way. It ignored my counter things where I would tell it to start an ordered list here, but started at number 63. Well, it would start it at 1. And so it does some things well, but not everything well. And so I'm having to come up with scripts that will run a bunch of substitutions depending on what the device is that the person is going to read it on. And I guess this is one of those things that could be handled in Launchpad. You say you can set up a build process that will run all these things for you.
You can, yeah. But also, have you considered the Calibre libraries?
I use Calibre at some point in the project. Usually that's like the last thing. But I don't know how to script with Calibre. Is there a way to get at it from the command line?
Well, it's got a Python interface, so you could just run Python, a little Python script to do the thing that you wanted and just call that.
But I have to be inside Calibre to run it?
No, I think you can call it directly from the command line, just passing it in values.
I will have to look into that some more, because I really need this to be able to run everything from a command line. Right now, yeah. It's a very clunky process I've got going. I'll take my source code, run it through the script to create what I think will be a pretty good, say, Kindle file, and then I have to import it to Calibre through the Calibre interface, and then do the Calibre conversion to Kindle format, and then drag it over to my Kindle to see how it looks. It's very tedious.
I managed to get a copy of, there's a virtual Kindle emulator that Amazon make available for Windows. I managed to get that to work under Wine under Ubuntu. You might try that.
Really?
That might save you having to use a physical Kindle and stuff.
Yeah, well, I just got my Kindle yesterday, and so I'm very excited about it. So right now, I don't mind the tedious process because I want to see it on the device. I'm so enthralled with it.
How great is it to see a book you've written and you just transfer it onto your Kindle and it's on a proper reading device? It's like, this is brilliant.
It really is wonderful. And this is not one that I wrote, but I've done quite a lot of work on it. But yeah, I like the Kindle a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I wrote a book, and it was literally a page that said, "This is a book." And I basically copied it by a Calibre onto my Kindle. It was like, yeah, that's there, and oh, look, it works. Who
yeah, it's pretty cool. I have an idea that I might actually, for my college classes, make Kindle versions of the course syllabi and various other documents related to the course that people can put on their Kindles or other devices. But now I just do everything in HTML because it's so universal. And all my students have a phone in their pockets where they can grab stuff either that way or whatever. But I really like the dedicated readers also. So I want to keep those in mind as I'm distributing stuff.
Yeah, it does sort of raise the second question, I suppose. If you're producing content, what is the future of ebooks? If our devices, if our phones are e-readers, if they're getting more and more permanently connected to things, is there even a point in ebooks anymore? Is it just going to be a case of when you browse to a web page and that's your book?
Well, I don't know. For me, at least right now, I still like the ebook format because I'm not necessarily going to be connected to the internet all the time, and I like to be able to transfer something over. And at least for the Counterpoint book that I've been working on, the source file is so big that it doesn't work very well if you try to access it just on your phone's web browser. I mean, it works okay, but it's very slow to load up because there's so many images. It's a massive file. It works much better when it's been converted to EPUB or to a Kindle format, just because it doesn't have to keep the entire thing in memory at all times. I think our connection is going wacky here. I saw your lips turn red, but then something sounded like it was all broken up.
Yeah, I got that as well. Yeah,
I'm still here.
So if anyone's listening to this and they'd like to see your book that you've been rescuing from public domain sort of obscurity, where can they go to find it? Because I've had a quick look at it and it looks amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, they can go to my website. I'll put a link in the show notes for it. I have one page on my website that is devoted to my Counterpoint projects, and there's a link to the HTML version that people can look at just in a web browser. And I also have a link to the EPUB. I'm going to add a link to the Kindle version since I have one now, and so people can look at those as well.
So if there's all these devices that you want to try and support with the book and stuff, is there any way we can sort of try it on different devices? If anybody out there's got an obscure Nook or whatever, would that be beneficial?
possibly. I mean, I actually have my kids both have Nook Colors, and I have this Kindle. We don't have an original Nook that uses the e-ink. I'm always curious to see how well something's going to work on just about any device. The EPUB format seems to be the one that's most cross-platform friendly, because I know that I could put EPUBs on my kids' Nooks and they can read them. The Kindle, I'm not sure if the Kindle will read an EPUB book or not.
It reads Mobi-based formats. But you can convert your EPUB to Mobi using the Calibre libraries.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've done so far. I mean, I start with the HTML as my source, and then I convert it to, well, I import it to Calibre, and then convert it to EPUB or AZW3, I guess is what the extension is.
Yeah, it's the Kindle one, isn't it?
Right. But I'm going to have to look into these Python libraries and try to work that into my scripts to automate more of this. I don't like having to use a graphical interface to test the changes that I've made.
I stumbled across it the other night. And I thought, oh, I really must remember to look at that, because I was thinking that I could be able to use that myself. So when I publish my books, not only does it go to EPUB as it does currently, but then perhaps gets converted from there to Mobi or whatever format. Because it suddenly occurred to me, like, I'm producing an EPUB file and the Kindle won't read an EPUB file.
Right.
So the only thing it currently reads it, I think, is FB Reader, which is the native built-in ebook reader in Ubuntu, and it's a bit, it's not mm-hmm. great. Well, it doesn't appear to be too great. That may be a little bit of me as well, because my book may not be that, maybe not that good.
Well, FB Reader is a very bare bones ebook reader, and I don't like it so much on the desktop, but it's great on Android. What I like about it is it's very lightweight. I mean, when you turn the page, it turns really fast. And, you know, it doesn't have a lot of fancy options, but you can hook into lots of different book sources. Like you can add the Gutenberg project page to your list of sources and just grab books straight from Gutenberg to FB Reader. And I like it. It doesn't have some of the cool features that the Kindle Reader has on Android, or say the Nook Reader, which will keep track of your progress through a book, and then if you start reading on another device, it'll find your place for you. So FB Reader won't do that, but as just a basic book reader, it's pretty good. I like it okay.
I started doing some research into the Amazon Cloud Reader. Have you seen that?
I have not tried it, no.
Well, it's like the Amazon Kindle, but in a web page. So once you've got your books in your mm-hmm. library, you can read them on the web. And I actually managed to set up a sort of proxy, and you can actually watch the commands being sent to Amazon backwards and forwards. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense, because I've had to put like a proxy in the middle so I can see this request to like mm-hmm. go and get book state and go to this location and stuff. But it strikes me that if you've got that sort of API and it's just simple calls to go and get this book based by and all the books in Amazon have got an ASIN number, which I'm assuming is some sort of identifier to the book within your library. What about if you could pass in a personal document ID as opposed to a library document ID? Because one of the restrictions of Cloud Viewer is that you can only view books, not your personal documents. So if you put a book onto Kindle, it'll track your progress on all of your readers apart from Cloud. It won't mm-hmm. show up at all. But that's still a good feature, the fact that once you've got your book, and your book would still support that, you know, as you navigate through and read your counterpoint book, you can pick it up on the Kindle and then pick it up, say, on your phone or on a tablet or on the laptop or whatever, and it should sync it across.
Yeah, so far I have not tried to. All I've done is put it on the Kindle device. I've not tried to sync it up to my Kindle library online yet. That's one of the next things I should try to do. But it seems like you may have to email it to your Kindle address or something. Or I don't know. There are a number of ways you can get content onto the Kindle. One of them is through a Kindle email, and the other I've just been dragging it on there connected with a USB cable.
You can also.
But I'm not sure from that how you get it up to the cloud.
Well, you can upload it onto your Amazon Drive as well. Amazon have just done their sort of storage system. And as part of that, if you email any books to your Kindle at your free.kindle.com address, it appears in your Amazon Cloud drive thing, and you can also, I believe, upload files directly to it.
Yeah, I'll have to try. I looked around for a button that says click here to upload a file, but I just couldn't find one. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. But I will try emailing it to my Kindle email address and see if that
does. Yeah, I need to sort something out like that because I just bought the... Did you see the Humble ebook bundle recently? They just did the Humble ebook bundle, and it's got like a bunch of novels in there by a load of people. I think I spent $10. So not a huge amount, but for a load of books. And one of the books on there is From Hell, which is the Alan Moore graphic novel. It's massive. It's like 400 meg. So I don't fancy trying to email that to myself because I don't think it's going to work.
But one of the reasons I had not tried to email the Counterpoint book to my Kindle yet was that it's 37 megabytes in the EPUB version, but somehow it's only 1 megabyte or maybe 1.5 in the Kindle version, I think because it does not try to pull in all those audio files.
Yeah, it's possible, isn't it?
Whereas the EPUB, I think, wraps them all up in there. I just have gone to the Humble eBook bundle. Well, I guess there's a YouTube video that talks about it. I'm going to check that out after we're done here.
Is it still on?
Well, it says Humble eBook bundle, pay what you want. Let's see. I'm going to click on this link here. Well, it's hard for me to tell. I don't want to just poke around on a web page on a podcast. That's not very good radio. But maybe I'll have to check it out later and maybe record a podcast about it if I like it. Well, is there anything else for us to talk about with respect to your project?
Oops.
How would people get a hold of your project? What did you call it again? The Quickly eBooks? Uh-oh, I think I lost you again, Mike. We may have to do some editing to get these things back. Ah, are you there? I see red lips coming on, but I don't hear Mike. Yoo-hoo! Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Wait. Now I lost you again.
I'm still here. Aha, good.
Okay, there. Now I hear you.
I think whenever I alt-tab, I was just going to alt-tab and see if I've still got the Humble eBook template, the Humble eBook page open on my browser. But I think whenever I alt-tab, my machine decides it's going to kill the internet.
Oh, whoops. That's not a good feature.
It's not too bad.
So maybe we can come up with a link for the show notes to go to the Humble eBook bundle.
It's still on. But and if people aren't aware, it's definitely a good resource to look at because it's a pay what you want, pay what you think it's worth eBook system. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So tell people again what your project is called and how they can get it.
It's the Ubuntu Quickly eBook and Play. It's on Launchpad. There'll be a link in the show notes. I'll send you a link. If you want to read more about my experimentations with content packaging, including how I packaged the whole of Linux Reality to go onto Launchpad, you can hit... Oh, it's great.
That sounds good.
You can find me at titaniumbunker.com.
Cool. Well... That's I've got 26 minutes on the recorder here, so maybe we should call it quits.
If people want to find out more about your book and your writings, where can they find about you?
That would be at jonathankulp.org, JonathanKulp.org. That's my website and all kinds of stuff to bore you with there. You can also, one of the most recent posts there, you can find out how I made a door knocker for my front door out of old skateboard and bicycle parts.
How nice.
All right. Great. Very nice meeting you, Mike. Thanks for getting in touch with me after my episode. I'm glad we got to get together and record one.
Thanks, John. Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.